Amen. If you would turn your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. And as you turn there, just to give you a bit of an intro of what we're going to be talking about this morning. Anybody have a father figure that they've gone to for advice in their life? Everybody got one of those? I'm very thankful to have a father in my life, two of them actually, who I can go to, and at any time I know I'm getting pretty sound advice. But I remember several years back, I went to my dad, and it was one of those things where I was asking for advice, but I was telling him what I was going to do and just expecting him to agree with me. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. And the advice he gave me was, Christian, it's about time you realize that you are the main character of your own life. You've got to stop acting like you are just the supporting cast of this movie. When you're the writer, you're the main character, you're everything in your own life. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you about your own life. I'm going to talk to you just about you. Amen. So everybody say, it's about me.
It's about me.
Just for this morning, in a church service, it's all about you. Amen. 2 Samuel 23, verse 11 says, And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. I hope it's okay this morning, but I'm just going to kind of shoot you straight. Since we're talking about you, we're talking about us this morning. Amen. I'm going to just talk to you. I'm not going to really preach at you. I'm not going to necessarily teach you. But let's just talk this morning. And I want to start by giving an intro to 2 Samuel 23. And this time, we're talking about Shema, who is one of the mighty men of David. David called him a mighty man based off of the brief story we just read. And if you're anything like me, oftentimes you read through this chapter and you looked right over Shema and just thought of him as another name in a long list of names throughout this chapter. But here recently, this was drawn to my attention and it began to dwell on me as it went about my week. The power that Shema had to stand and defend his own field.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible says that the people fled from the Philistines.
Yes.
And Shema stayed and defended it. Amen. This morning, you are going to have to stand and defend what's yours.
Yes. Right.
You're going to have to stand and know that it's mine.
Yes.
And I'm not going to give it up.
Yes.
And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But in 2 Samuel, it's talking about the Philistines and how they are stacking up in a troop. And I'm sure at this time, as we see in Hollywood and all sorts of publications where, you know, the people are just instantly out there working in their field. They're working their crops, and all of a sudden, here comes the bad guys. And they're up on top of the hill, and they're looking out over them, and they're talking about how they're going to go down there and wipe everybody out, and all the innocent people run away. And there is Shema, who is standing in the middle of this field by himself.
Yes.
Looking at a troop of Philistines, who the Bible has told us repeatedly that were not exactly an easy opponent to go against. We think about the story of David and Goliath, and everybody was afraid of the Philistines. They were great warriors. And so we know that this was not an easy task to take on an entire troop of Philistines. But I imagine that at this time, Shema has already seen enough of the Philistines that he's kind of sick of them. He's kind of sick of dealing with the same enemy over and over and over again. And he's had enough. This field was his. It was the children of Israel's field, and he wasn't going to give it up just simply because the Philistines wanted him or wanted the field. He was ready to defend it at all costs, and that's exactly what he did. Some things are simply worth fighting for in this life.
Yes.
That's what it really comes down to this morning. Shema decided that that field was worth fighting for.
Yes.
As Christians this morning, you are going to have to decide for yourself that some things are simply worth fighting for. Some things in your life cannot be replaced. Some things in your life that God has given you will never be replaced. It's simply worth fighting for. Your life is worth fighting for, and your walk with God is worth fighting for this morning. To be completely honest with you, and this is going for myself as well, but I get a little weary of watching the defeat of Christians who have all the power and all the authority in the first place, but they were simply unwilling to stand and defend what was already theirs. Yes. Amen. It's a defeat that does not have to be. As Christians, we have to learn to stand for what's ours. Yes. It's my life, the screen says this morning. It's your life. Stand, defend it, be proud of what God has given you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yes. You know what that tells you? God's given you wisdom. Yes. It's your life. God has given you this life, and he has given you the wisdom to go about that life. He's given you power, his power. So what can stand against his power? No. Nothing. He's given you his love. Yes. What is greater than God's love? That cross on the wall behind me says it all this morning. And he's given you a sound mind, meaning he's given you what it takes to decipher everything that you come against in life. When you put all those together, God has given you everything you need this morning. Yes. It's your life. Take that and use it. Referencing the text this morning, there are several certainties of life. And it's not as I was told growing up that it was life, death, and taxes. That's what I was always raised to believe. But there is more to life than that, I promise. And we're going to go over a few of those based off of the text this morning. The first one I want to bring to your attention is that your life is wanted by others.
Come on.
And this is not a sense of jealousy. I'm not saying that to say that I want something you have or the person next to you wants something you have. It's not that sort of want at all. But there is an enemy who wants to destroy everything you have.
Yes.
Much like we're looking at Shema this morning, staying in the field, waiting for those Philistines to come and just light a torch to his field. There are some people who don't want what you have. They just don't want you to have it either.
Come on.
Amen. Your life is wanted by others. The Philistines want to cut the power source of Shema. You see, basic tactics of war is if there's no supply, there's no war. If you take away whatever the person is fighting with, the fight gets much easier.
Yes.
If they're not strong enough to stand and fight, there's not going to be much of a fight. And so I'm sure the Philistines are looking down at this field and saying, well, there's a bunch of easy people to pick off, and there's a field that's virtually defenseless. This is going to be quite easy. We're going to get to cut off that source with very little effort at all. Now, the enemy of your soul this morning wants to cut off your food supply.
Right.
Sitting in this church service right now, there is an enemy who would love nothing more than to watch you fall flat on your face.
Right.
In this place, he doesn't mind that you're here. The devil doesn't care that you're at church this morning. In fact, he doesn't mind at all, as long as you go home and do exactly what you've been doing anyway.
Come on.
I mean, that's not what this is about this morning. The devil wants nothing less than you leaving God and feeling as if you have nowhere else to turn. He's wanting to cut you off. He's wanting to fight you from the front and cut you off from the back, making sure you have nowhere to go. Amen. But can I remind you this morning that this is your life? It's your decision to make. You are here this morning because you expect and realize that God has the power to give you something more than you already have. Amen. We have to be willing to go there this morning. When you live life for God, there is forever a target on your back. We understand that this morning, that living for God is not easy. Let's just say that and get that out of the way. Living for God is not an easy task. It's a rewarding task. It's an easy decision to make in your mind. But when rubber really meets the road and it's time to start living what we preach, living as a Christian is not an easy task. It's not easy at all. We have rough days, rough weeks all the time. I was talking to Brother Warren last night in Walmart at 9:30 last night, bumped into each other, and we were talking about some of the stuff that's happened, and kids have fallen into pools that couldn't swim, and you know, all these different things. And we came home from vacation a couple of weeks ago, and both my car and my wife's car went into the shop. We have bad times, right? We have bad things happen to us. We get sick. We have loved ones that we tussle with, or we get in fights with. We have all these things happen to us, and that's just part of life, we say. You're just going to have to deal with that. That's just part of your life. But you know what I hear when when I hear these things, when I hear of people having bad times, when I hear of Christian people having bad times, as I hear the Philistines climbing up on the hill getting ready to attack, I feel the devil doing everything he possibly can to hinder the movement of God. I feel the devil coming against the children of Israel, the children of us, the children of this church, trying to do everything he possibly can to make our lives as difficult as possible. Everything he could possibly do to make us want to turn away from the God who's given us everything. You see, I complained about having car trouble, but God provided those cars. Yes. Amen. He provided the money to fix them as well. Yes. And replace them. God has provided me all of these things. And even in the hard times, we have to understand that God is the source of all. Yes. Amen. Yes. Right. The devil is trying to divide and conquer. When I talk to the people in the church and we're having trouble, and I talk to the people that aren't in the church and they're just fine, it makes you realize just what's going on. There's things going on in a spiritual realm that are here simply to be a stumbling block or something to make us fall. But when I hear or when I see things like this happen, and then I look and I see these same people sitting in church on a Sunday morning, I mean, I no longer just hear the sound of those Philistines climbing up the top of the hill, but I see the value of Jesus Christ in life. I see that these people recognize how important God is, and with the life that they've been given, they've said, I'm here to serve him. It's my life. I'm not going to fall flat on my face. I'm not going to fall insecurities to what the devil has put in front of me. But I'm here. I'm ready to move forward. I'm ready to stand and defend what God has given me this morning.
Yes.
You see, oftentimes we take the trouble in our life as abandonment from God. Anybody ever feel abandoned from God? I have. I felt like God has left me at times. You are important this morning. You are important to God. You have great value in God's kingdom. And I urge you not to just give away your life. Not to just give everything that you fought for to this point. Not to give everything that God has given you away simply because your enemy wants it. God has given you all of this. And it's your life this morning. Live it. Live it to the fullest. The second principle I want to pull from this text this morning is that the Philistines will gather. In your life, bad things are going to happen. Again, we say these things are just the facts of life, but they're going to happen. Problems are going to arise. I think of Joseph. Every time he finds favor in his entire life, every time God blesses him, something bad happens. Mom and dad show him a little bit too much kindness, buy him this beautiful coat, and the next thing you know, he's laying face first in a pit. And then he's sold into slavery, where he works his way through slavery to be the head slave. And is given favor in his master's home. He's finally getting to a place where it's comfortable again, where he's been shown favor. And what happens? He's falsely accused and gets thrown back in prison. And then while in prison, he has these miraculous dreams. He's a dreamer, always has been. And he's ridiculed for it. And then he's brought before the king, and hey, things are going good again. We're going to see the king. The king wants to know about my dreams. And then he's faced with the same brothers that threw him in the pit again. Throughout his entire life, he's always facing problems that answer the benefits that God has given him. Every time he finds favor, someone tries to ruin it. This is going to happen in your life. You will find favor at times, and you will find that people want nothing more than just to ruin it. Much like Shammai, because of the fact that they're in the field, I would imagine it's harvest time, or close to harvest time. Those times, they didn't really have pesticides that they were out spraying or anything like that. So if they were working the field, it was either irrigation or they were harvesting. And so I imagine that Shema and these people are looking on this field and saying, this is our favor. This is what God has blessed us with. This is what we are going to feed ourselves with. This is what we're going to provide for our families with. And then they see those Philistines who want to come and destroy it simply because it's not theirs. And man, you will find times in your life this morning where you have worked extremely hard for something. And God has blessed you with something. And someone is wanting to take that away from you simply because it is not yours or theirs. Amen. There will always be those Philistines in your life. Problems are a fact of life. But we need to make the miracles and the favor of God a fact of our lives as well.
Yes.
Amen. We've got to stop hoping for miracles and start realizing they're true.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So oftentimes we see the reality of the bad things in our life. We see how bad things can possibly be. But then when we receive a miracle, it's just normal. That's not the case. Miracles are real. God's favor is real.
Yes.
We need to start accepting them and realizing that they are greater than the negativity in our life.
Yes.
If you believe that he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world, then you have no trouble understanding that God is able to deliver you from the bad stuff that happens.
Yes.
Amen. I think we could all across this room say that we've had something bad happen, maybe even today, maybe this week. It's a fact of life. But you are here this morning. You are here this morning. In the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your bad times, you have made God a priority.
Yes.
And I believe that when we come into this place and we give God everything we have, then we will see his glory fall.
Yes.
I mean, does anybody else believe that this morning? That when you give God everything you have, God will return that to you tenfold? Amen. I believe that wholeheartedly. It seems at times that trouble amounts on each other. That when it rains, it pours. I've had one of those months, really, where it seems like everything that could possibly go wrong has. And then something I didn't know could go wrong went wrong. It rains, it pours, it downpours, it's even coming up from the ground. Okay, it seems horrible at times. But I want you to remember that Shema was standing in the middle of a field by himself, looking at an entire army of Philistines. Now I want you to think about that. I'm standing up here in front of all of you this morning. I think we would all agree that if we were to go to war right now, me against all of you, I think we know who would win. Fair to say? So to be standing on lower ground, looking into the eyes of your enemy and knowing that you are significantly outnumbered, you're significantly overpowered, and saying, I'm willing to defend this no matter what. I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to move. That is the life we have to begin to live. That when bad things happen, they're just bad things that happen. But it's my life, and I'm going to live my life for God no matter what.
Right. Yes.
Amen. When you feel like Joseph this morning, and the whole world wants to bring you down, you take the spirit of Shema. You stand in that field knowing what is against you, and you worship God anyway.
Yes.
You stand for what's right anyway.
Yes.
The spirit that says, though my enemies arise, my God is worth fighting for.
Yes.
Is what it comes down to. It looks bad. The deck is stacked. Everything that has gone wrong can and has. But I have a God who avengeth me and subdueth the people under my feet. He delivereth me from my enemies. Though thou liftest me up above the things that rise against me, thou hast delivered me, is what it says in Psalms 18.
Yes.
Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee and sing praises unto thy name.
Yes.
Amen. You should bookmark that. Because bad things are going to happen to you. And when they do, realize that he that is in you is greater than in the world. And when he brings you out, I want you to praise him for bringing you out. In the small things, you praise him. And in the big things, you praise him.
Yes.
And you will see those small things and those big things begin to amount to absolutely nothing. Because God's already went before you. He's already made a way. Before Shema ever stood in that field and decided to stand for what was his, God had already decided the fate of that fight. I mean, the text even says that it was a godly victory. God decided that fight, not Shema. You have a mighty God this morning. Make him the center of your life. Understand that he is enough. And you fight for the life that he gives you.
Yes.
The third principle I want to bring to you this morning is that everyone flees. Everyone flees. When trouble arises in your life, everyone seems nowhere to be found. Isn't it a miracle how that happens? I can see Shema standing in that field strategizing like, okay, so I'm going to go up the middle. you guys take the right, left. I guess we'll use this pitchfork. And then he's like, guess it's just me. I guess I'll take the pitchfork. Right? We feel that at sometimes in our life where we feel as if, look, I really need some help here. I'm all alone. I feel isolated. I don't know where God is. I don't know where my family is. I don't know where the church is. But I need help. We feel abandoned. We feel left alone, completely isolated from everything we ever known. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes people leave us alone to fight our battles by ourselves, and sometimes people try to help us and simply can't. I've grown to realize that's true, that sometimes when I feel all alone, it's not because no one's there, it's because they're not me.
Come on.
They're not living my life. Amen. So when we say it's my life this morning, that's what I'm talking about, is understanding that this is so much more than just, hey, this is a church thing or this is a family thing. This is about you this morning.
Yes.
This is your life.
Yes.
I think of David, young boy, shepherd boy, really had nothing going for him at the time, goes to deliver food to his brothers or a message to his brothers. Sees this giant standing out in the field and says, not today. I'll go out there. And everybody's convincing him, please just go home. You're a little boy. Just get out of here, please. This is going to be ugly. And we know that the fight is over so much more than just a man against a boy. But we see Saul, and Saul's like, well, since you're crazy enough to go, take this armor. And it doesn't fit. It's not going to help David at all, but he's trying. He's trying to help David. The people that are convincing him to go home, in their hearts, they feel like they're trying to help David. There are times in your life where people will try to help you, and they truly just have nothing that they could possibly offer to make any sense or any benefit in your life. Don't take that as abandonment this morning. Don't take it as God is abandoning you. Just know that sometimes God's got to get it to just you before he can do anything. I want you to look back in your Bible at the story of David. He gets to the battlefield, and you know what he has? A rock. A rock. He's going against a 10-foot man of war, and he's got a rock. No one to help him, no armor. He's just a boy. He's alone, and he's against this giant. You think of Samson, kills thousands of Philistines with a jawbone. God didn't equip him with bazookas and all kinds of armor. He gave him a jawbone. And it was enough. It was more than enough. He took out thousands of people by himself and a jawbone. Now listen to me this morning, church. You are going to feel alone. You are going to feel as if you have nothing that could possibly benefit you in any way. And that's just the way God wants it. Sometimes God is going to pull you into situations where you are completely isolated. You are completely alone before he can do anything. Do not take that as abandonment this morning. Take that as God making a way for him to show you his glory and his way and his time.
Amen.
It's your life. It's going to be a long day all by yourself. When you're standing out in that field and you know you have to defend everything that you ever worked for, you have to defend your friends, you have to defend your family all by yourself, it's going to be a long day. But it's your life, and you need to live it for God this morning. The fourth principle I want to bring to you this morning is defending. We go through all types of measures as Christians and just as people to keep ourselves safe. Our families safe. We lock our doors at night. We put locks on everything. Now it's legal in most states to carry weapons to defend yourself as long as it's within reasonable force. We do these things because we value our belongings. We value our family. We value our own lives. These things are important, and they're worth protecting. They're worth defending. If you are ever put into a confrontation and feel threatened, they say that you really have two options. Brother Hogan would probably know these very well. It's simply fight or flight. You either stand your ground and you defend, or you're out of there. You're gone. In my experience, though, you can only run so far. Bible says turn the other cheek, and I believe you should. But you can only turn it once. Right? And so at times we're forced to defend and forced to not necessarily take up arms, but to stand ready, waiting, knowing that the storm's coming. Stand ready, knowing that the enemy's about to do something, and be prepared to handle it. I can imagine being Shema, and me personally, I don't take being threatened very well at all. I don't like seeing my belongings hurt in any way. I don't appreciate that. If anyone ever tried to hurt my family, they'd probably get a whole lot more than they bargained for. That's just the way it is. We put value in what's ours. We put great stake in it. It's everything we've ever worked for. It's what we live for. But Shema had been in this state of war for some time. He's probably seen what the enemy will do. He's probably well aware that as soon as he turns and runs out of this field, it's as good as gone. And probably they're going to catch him anyway. And so he's almost in a way forced to stand and defend based off of what he's already seen, what he's already been a part of. He's decided that this field, this time, is worth fighting for. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you had enough of the devil's games? Have you had enough of what the devil is trying to do in your life? Are you sick of feeling inferior as a Christian? Are you sick of feeling like your back is against the wall simply because you're a Christian? That the devil is coming against you simply to destroy what you have. He doesn't want your walk with God. He doesn't need a walk with God. He just doesn't want you to have one either.
Come on.
Are we sick of that as Christians? Are we sick of that as a church? Do you want victory over your own life? If so, you must learn to defend your walk with God. It's very simple this morning. It's a very simple principle. If you want to keep your walk with God, you better be prepared to defend it.
Come on.
And that is not promoting aggravation. That is not promoting aggressiveness. That's simply promoting protecting what's yours. You are a child of God. It's okay to live like one. You don't have to give in to other people. You don't have to give in to sin simply because you're a Christian. That's not the way this works. When God said turn the other cheek, he meant to be forgiving, not to be a doormat. As Christians, we have to understand what is right and wrong and stand for what's right. We have to defend what God has given us. If we're to be completely transparent this morning, we would all agree that being a good Christian is hard. It's hard not to fall into temptation, to keep God the focal point of our lives. But can I tell you this morning that all those things are well worth it? Living for God is so worth it. Being the best Christian you could be is worth the struggle it takes to be that Christian. God can provide for you. He can bless you tenfold. And man, it would take me hours this morning to go through all the miracles that God has done in my life. And I'm sure a lot of us could say that. If nothing else, we could talk about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for us.
Yes.
I mean, that sacrifice alone is worth defending.
Yes.
I mean, I would defend that sacrifice to know that my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren can accept that same sacrifice. That is something worth fighting for. That is something worth defending.
Yes.
I mean, and even more so, Jesus is worth living for.
Yes.
Everything I do, I want to be for him this morning. But even with the purest of intentions, there is still an enemy trying to destroy your relationship with God. Can I tell you this morning that the devil wants to take your dance? He loves it when you don't dance in church. He loves it when you don't sing in church. He'd love nothing more than to take those things from you. He'd love nothing more to see you never worship again. Amen. But can I tell you the best way to fight that? Amen. We sing the song all the time. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Amen. This is a war that is not about what you have. It's about who you are. You are a child of God this morning.
Yes.
It's your life to live for him.
Yes.
Amen. And when you know that the devil is coming against you in these areas of your life, when you know the devil is trying to take your worship, let me tell you how to beat it. Worship. Worship a lot. Worship more than you've ever worshiped before in your life. And you watch how far that devil flees. Amen. At the mention of the name Jesus, darkness flees. Amen. Amen. So why do we keep working and trying to kind of tiptoe around the devil? Why do we do that? We have the power of Jesus living inside of us. Do we agree?
Yes.
Amen. Then let's live our life like we do.
Right.
It's our life. Live it for you. Live it for Jesus Christ this morning. The simple principles of life that I've laid out for you this morning, I'm going to repeat them to you, is your life is wanted by others, first of all. The devil wants to take your walk with God. Secondly, the Philistines are going to come. There are going to be bad times in your life. If we go even further into the text, everyone flees. That's the third point we talked about this morning. Everyone flees. And sometimes that's isolation, and sometimes that's just no one being able to help you. Everyone flees. And the fourth one we talked about is defending what's ours.
Yes.
Being prepared, being able to stand and defend what God is giving you. And the last thing I want to talk to you about this morning in closing is victory.
Yes.
You have victory over your own life this morning.
Yes.
And if you don't, you don't need to leave until you have it.
Come on.
Bad things are going to happen. The enemy is going to come. The devil wants what's yours. But if you stand ready to defend what God has given you, and understand that God is with you when you go to those places, when you're making that fight, when you're in that struggle, God is there, then I'm telling you this morning, you will have the victory. Amen. You need to claim that this morning. This is not just some patty cake, just some easy, simple sermon. It is very simple because it's just about life. It's just about how real it is. But can I tell you that God can take your life and He can make it something beautiful? He can make it something not so simple. And then we can think about some of the extraordinary Christians we've known and we've seen over the courses of our life. And you know what they were? They were people. They were people. And they were used by God. And when they stood ready to defend that, there was victory there. And the victory that was there is what we remember of them. The beautiful things that came from their fight, from standing in a field like Shema, and looking up and realizing you are completely outmanned and fighting anyway, those are the things we remember. Amen. This morning in closing, if you would, I'm going to ask you just to lift your hands. Would you bow your head with me? And I just want to pray that God's victory would be over you. That we would accept the power that Jesus Christ has in our life. And we would take the sacrifice that He has made and we would apply it to our life. Simply because it's your life this morning and you need to live it for Jesus. Jesus, in your name right now, Lord, I pray that your blessing.